Okay, guys, welcome back to the A-List News Roundup coming at you March 14th, 2025. New Prime Minister Day. We just got a new Prime Minister, a couple hours ago, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. So it's appropriate timing for this little chat. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Might as well document it in a way, right? Play a couple of cool clips.
My stuff is still some older stuff. Fentanyl and money laundering stuff to get to. So I thought maybe... I mean, BC just did pass that bill that could get kind of scary, but I think I'll save that for the Wednesday show.
Yeah. Do you want to start out with the coronation then, like the real up to date?
Yeah, stuff? If you got that stuff, we might as well start with the carny.
Okay, I should have done a test here.
Carny Nation.
This is. I don't know if you've ever heard him swearing in like
this. I, Mark Carney.
Can you hear that? Okay, just going to turn it up a bit.
Do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty, King Charles III, King of Canada, his heirs and successors.
Stop for a sec.
Is that like a deep fake? I mean, is this really what we're doing now? Are you still swearing fealty to the king? I didn't know they had to do that. I guess it was the queen last time it happened, right?
Yeah. King of Canada. Is that
deep? Play that again. Like, it's...
Who's that from?
Table salt.
Yeah, I can't see him doctoring clips.
It's got to be. It's not a deep fake, is it?
What do the comments say?
Okay, let me just play it again here.
All right. I, Mark Carney, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty, King Charles III, King of Canada, his heirs and successors.
Who did he look over at there?
When he said, isn't the dude in the bank?
What? Watch when he, Sir Carney, watch this.
Majesty, King Charles III, King of Canada, is there.
Why did he look over at whoever was, he looked over at the camera there in a way.
Heirs and successors. I, Mark Carney, do solemnly and sincerely swear that I shall be a true and faithful servant to His Majesty, King Charles III, as a member of His Majesty's Privy Council for Canada. I will, in all things, to be treated, debated, and resolved in Privy Council, faithfully, honestly, and truly declare my mind and my opinion. I shall keep secret all matters committed and revealed to me in this capacity, or that shall be secretly treated of in Council.
What? What is that about the secrets?
Keep going.
Mind and my opinion. I shall keep secret all matters committed and revealed to me in this capacity, or that shall be secretly treated of in council. Generally, in all things, I shall do as a faithful and true servant ought to do for His Majesty.
Oh my God, the weirdest wording. That seems.
What do the comments say?
Table salt in 2025. This is beyond ridiculous. It's more than just preserving heritage. It's an oath, and it should be to the Canadian people.
Yeah, that's
what I thought. When I say he's never been elected, I mean he holds no seat in Parliament, and the Canadian public has never given him a mandate. The man can't even sit in Parliament or vote on laws, but he has full executive authority. King of Canada. Notice how they tell us Canada doesn't have a king in any non-formal setting. See? This is what we're talking about. Hitting the nail right on the head here. But in any formal ceremony or document, we do. The real one is the formal documents.
We made up. There
is a King of Canada. And then, of course, people are already swearing at him. He's the 7th PM to be installed. See, this is what they don't get, right? Without being elected. He's not a 7th one to be installed without being elected as a PM, right?
The rest held seats in Parliament.
Exactly. That's right. That's what, or is that what the PM, would that be what it is?
Prime Minister. Anyway.
Oh, sorry. As a member of an MP.
An MP.
I had my P's and M's backwards.
But the Canadian system allows for, I mean, they don't even have to let us vote on the leader of the party, right? The party is a private entity, so it can choose its leader however it sees fit.
Canada is still a British colony, one that has decided to remain a vassal state. The U.S. was one of those about 250 years ago. He's obliged to the king, not to Canadians. Canadians need to stand up now and demand legitimate election.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a wrap. Table Salt and I are friends on, so.
Oh, that's good. Maybe that was good. You guys need to get in a little conflict there to before you get a little closer.
I don't know.
The oath to Lenin was in private. So now that we've seen that, let's see what he says about
is this a carbon tax? This a carbon tax?
Well, no, it's not.
Oh.
It's a fuel surcharge. It's a price, not a tax. Why won't they say it?
We've already taken a big decision as this cabinet, because this is a cabinet that's focused on action. It's focused on getting more money in the pockets of Canadians. It's focused on building this economy.
See, he's pretty smooth, dude. He's been in these CEO positions longer than Trudeau's been alive, it seems like. You know, he's going to be disastrous.
With all the tools that we have here. So based on the discussion we've had, and consistent with the promise that I made and others supported during the leadership campaign, we will be eliminating the Canada fuel charge, the consumer fuel charge.
The fuel charge. The consumer fuel charge. Is that all it is this whole time? This has just been a consumer fuel charge? The carbon tax?
It's a carbon
tax. Is it just on fuel?
It's on energy.
It's on energy.
Which is all the fuels. Yeah, I guess you could call it a... I mean, unless it's a different thing, I guess you could...
Well, people are calling this the speech that got rid of the carbon tax, so let's just let them finish here.
Immediately. And we will be ensuring... that those Canadians who have received rebates will continue to receive a rebate in the next quarter.
So, of course, the quarterly rebates stay because it's from the past, right, I guess? So it must be the carbon tax because you're talking about rebates. Next
payment, I think it's the carbon tax. For
the end of April. This will make a difference to hard-pressed Canadians, but it is part of a much bigger set of measures that this government is taking to ensure that we fight against climate change, that our we've already taken. Is taking to ensure that we fight against climate change, that our companies are competitive, and the country moves forward. So it's my honor on behalf of my colleagues to sign this.
He's pulling a Trump, right? He really is just like sitting there at a table, signing these things, explaining it like Trump was. Like
it's perfect. This is what we need. This is exactly what Canadians need to see before they realize what our system is.
And I'm not, and I'm not complaining about that because I was like happy to see Trump answering. He was actually like legitimately answering questions to all kinds of reporters. Like, I think this is way more scripted than that, to be honest with you, but at least he is showing this.
There's no problem. It'll be interesting to see if he calls an election now or not. But that was I'm assuming Pierre's got some tricks up his sleeve. I'm assuming he's got a few things that he just hasn't. He's waiting because,
Hashtag just like Justin. Just
what we've like seen Justin. For the last month, they've been stealing his ideas. It seems like, right? They just cut the carbon tax. That was his idea. But that's really the only thing he's been saying for a while. I mean, here's the thing: I can't be upset that the carbon tax is gone. No matter who does it, if I can have it gone today instead of waiting for 3 months for an election.
No, dude. It's gonna be worse.
Are you kidding me, dude? I'm paying $400.
It's gonna be worse.
But right now it's not. There'll be an election before that, hopefully.
Oh, what's the other option?
He just doesn't change it up. Would you prefer that? He just left it alone.
No, it's gonna come in a different. It's gonna come in a different way.
Okay, but right now it's not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. This is just it's not a win yet until it happens.
He just signed it. It's effective.
Well, I don't care what he signed. We'll see what he does.
Pierre's talking point.
He's not even calling it carbon. Okay, let's deconstruct this.
I mean, is Pierre's talking point. You are Pierre's talking point right now, because that's what he's coming out and saying, too. He's like, it's just a different thing. He's just going to bring it back.
Yeah, I'll be Pierre's talking point. Because why won't he call it what it's written down on your bills and the way it's elected? Why won't he call it a carbon tax? What is that, just that's a political theater? Is it just a, what do you call that when you're... Is it just semantics? Why is he calling it a consumer carbon price or a consumer fuel charge? Why can't he say the word? Say it. Say carbon tax. This is what everybody's been calling it.
Does it say carbon tax in the bill?
On the bills, yeah.
On his bill, on the bill he has to get rid of, in the order and council, the old one, does it say fuel charge? Because that would be the difference. Is if the old one said fuel charge or carbon tax.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder what
it might have just got picked up as carbon tax. You know what I mean? Because that is, what it turned out to be.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm basically a two-issue voter. So it's guns and carbon tax. So Pierre better start talking about guns. He needs to lean back into being a conservative, because he's right now, he might as well be a liberal. He's not really saying anything differently.
Yeah, I agree with you totally on that. I just think this is agreeing with what you said too, that he's going center right now. He's going further to the center, and but he's still saying he's going to take care of the environment. So we'll see how that affects everybody else.
Hopefully
companies and
LNG. It would be nice. I mean, that's what Pierre's talking about, is doing it via LNG.
Their definition of clean energy. So let me play what Scott, my premier, says about this quickly, because it's still very relevant.
I can't hear it.
Oh, are you kidding me? You can't hear it?
Can't hear it.
Oh, this is like streamer has to deal with this, because how can I go from sharing it and everything's fine to now it's not playing? So, and that just ruins the flow. Here we go.
I noticed this morning already that his first planned international visit is to the European Union. Not good. Not good. We don't have a trade war with the European Union today. We are in the midst of a trade war with the United States of America and China, the two largest economies in the world and our two largest export markets and trading partners.
Geez, how come you never hear the China part from the mainstream? How come Team Canada is not fighting against China?
Who's to go to the European Union?
Want to comment on that?
No, I just...
beyond what I could understand as being in any way impactful or representing Canadians. And so I would ask Mr. Carney to reconsider that, engage immediately with the Chinese government, continue and engage and lay his plan out with respect to how he is going to engage with the United States of America. And I would suggest that plan should not include anything in the way...
All fucking Scott Moe should be saying is call an election, call an election, call an election. That's all that should be coming out of his mouth right now. You shouldn't be going anywhere. You shouldn't be going to America. You should be calling a fucking election.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Of export tariffs, because that is very much one of the threats that has been identified by Saskatchewan industry as being one of the five tariff-related threats that are going to end jobs for a period of time in this country, and ultimately are not in any way finding our way towards that North American energy and food security goal that Saskatchewan really plays a part in.
I mean, I can't say that he didn't talk about that, because this is just a tiny clip from his press conference. Yeah.
That's, as far as I'm concerned, every leader of the country or the provinces right now should be jumping up and down saying, call for an election. You're an illegitimate leader right now. Yeah, the House is already, you had lost the confidence of the House already, and now you should be calling an election.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what Danielle's saying a little bit.
Yeah.
I had a clip from Pierre congratulating Trudeau and wishing the best for his family. And then,
oh, we should have streamed this on X too, actually. That would have been easy enough.
Yeah, we could have. And then he, goes on to, like I say, I hope he's just saving it for the election, because he's got to really, I think he's making the mistake of thinking that he needs to go closer to the center to win. And I think he needs to just go farther away from Mark Carney. If Carney's moving towards the center, Pierre needs to go to the right, man. The Canadians are more ready, I think, for a Trump style, not a total Trump style, but you know, that type of thing, a bolder conservative, conservative player in the political scene. I really think they are. And I think that the TVs and the social media and the news media does a pretty good job, much better job than they were able to in the States of covering that up. But I think that if a politician really leaned into it, that they might be surprised that I think Canada is really had enough. We have this sort of, everyone's living in this artificial world. It's just making everything worse. It's like, Pierre's got to worry about Twitter. It's like, listen, man, I'm not even sure. I've kind of stopped replying to things on Twitter because I'm literally at the point where I don't know what is real anymore. It's like,
oh my God, I was thinking that today, dude.
This whole thing could be AI. You know, it really, there could be just so, the bots are so sophisticated now that, and it doesn't matter by followers. You used to be able to tell because they'd have them, but now they're like, able to follow each other and boost each other. So they've got tons of followers and they got this thing. And it's like, I start to notice language from someone that's got like 40,000 followers. And it's like, this is fucking not a real person. I'm almost convinced this is not a real person.
Well, let's see what he says. I forgot to save this, but I found it quickly because it was just up in my feed here. This is from Marty up north. Can you hear it?
We've already taken big decision as this cabinet, because this is a cabinet that's focused on action. It's focused on getting more money in the pockets of Canadians.
Oh, hang on. It's the same fucking clip.
It's the same clip. Yeah, but he's just talking about how there's all the people that have been defending the carbon tax for the last 2 years. I'll clap for it. Like, see,
can I ask you what your plans are for the next?
Yeah, exactly. Can you hear that? Okay. Okay, here, this is the one that's recent.
Can I ask you what your plans are for the next few weeks? Are you going to be bringing back the House? Are you going to be calling an early election? And if so, when should Canadians expect to go to the polls?
Well, they certainly should expect to go to the polls before November. The news today is behind me. An exceptional group of individuals who are serving Canada. United, focused cabinet. Focused on action, focused on the issues for Canadians. We are, as I said a moment ago, we will be going to take some decisions which directly meet some of the objectives I set out in my remarks and we've been discussing. That's the news for today. There will be other news in the coming days with respect to ensuring that we have as strong a mandate that is needed for the time. Thank you.
Think of those words, right? Mandate. He's saying we're going to have a strong mandate. We're going to take action. We're an action committed. Like, he really, they're taking the stuff that's working.
You got to assume that mandate means election.
Yeah.
But
it means, what it means is what Trump got down south.
Mandate from the people is a strong
mandate from the people, strong mandate, but also action
election. That's a strong election one.
Yeah,
so I mean, I don't know. I'm curious because there's a bet. I mean, Elevate and Mr. Sunshine have a bet on the election being called by Monday. So it's not looking good for Elevate.
Why is he saying action a lot in there? Because they know that people need fucking action.
Well, because this is what my prediction is. I don't think the election is going to get called on Monday. I think it's going to get called in about 3 weeks. I think that they are going to... You're going to see a couple things happen.
He's going to be in front of it like this now.
Yeah. So to extinguish conservative talking points heading into said election. So you see the carbon tax go today. What could another thing he could do very quickly?
Immigration.
You know, you could sign something to cut immigration and you could do a stimulus package for people who lost their job because of the tariffs. Which are changed to the unemployment rules, which I think you'd have at that point. You've got to bring the House back for that because that would be legislation. Or you could also make a move on guns, man. I mean, they could fucking rescind a 1500. If I'm Mark Carney and I'm considering keeping power right now, those are like two moves that you could do very easily and very quickly that would really take the wind out of the conservative sails. And I can't see him touching the guns. Like, you know, that's not going to happen. I can't see any.
But he can say it. He can.
No. This is what I'm saying. This is why he's not going to call an election first. I think he wants to actually do some shit before he calls an election so that they can't say exactly what you're saying. So that we can't say, why didn't you fucking do it? You're like, you know, that's what happened to Kamala, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you've been in power for 4 years. Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it? Now, this way he can come out and fucking campaign on, hey, man, I was the prime minister for a month. I got rid of your carbon tax. I cut immigration and I fucking gave your guns back.
No, or it doesn't even have to be maybe just two things. Like
you're not going to get the
gun. Then he can talk about the other ones. Like, because he's
I don't think the guns are big enough.
Action oriented. He can talk about guns and people will take it seriously.
The thing is, I don't think the liberals will, because I don't think like the guns aren't a hot button enough issue. Like, I don't know where the numbers lie in. I'm skewed because I'm a gun enthusiast that's out west where we have the bigger gun culture. I don't know where Quebec and like Toronto are at on guns. You know what I mean? Like, if it'd be worth, they probably have a better poll on that. I'm sure you would pick the top three, right? The number one is carbon tax. I was thinking today, like, wouldn't it be funny if he threw Trudeau in jail? I mean, that would get him some support from the right.
We're going to sacrifice you, buddy, on the on the altar of the WEF climate change. It's funny because I was thinking at the beginning of this show something like that too, where he was going to throw Trudeau under the bus. What was it about? It was about was it
he just threw Trudeau under the bus, basically.
Because like, the carbon tax or
yeah. That's his main thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really regardless of how you think it, I mean, it's clever politics. I mean, even if he brings it back later, because like you said, the first thing is you can say whatever. That's how they got Kamala. So it's like, if he can get in for just enough time, this is what I would do. You know, like if I could actually get power, but you know, you have to do something. It's like, okay, well, those fucking few weeks while I'm in power, I need to make some big fucking moves. Action moves,
especially because of what's happening down south.
So that the populace is just like, oh my god, I'm so sick of hearing this, and this guy just did it all in 2 weeks. I mean, I got a real concern that's what we're about to see happen.
Yeah.
Now the benefit of that would be some short term gains, hopefully, for the Canadian people, because dude, it's getting crazy out there. It's severely broken. You know, you're starting to notice it even in the small little rural town I'm out in Alberta, where the food bank and there's a real people are fucking hurt. You know, something needs to give. So that's why I was just saying, if the carbon tax could be gone today and instead of in 2 months and arguing about it on thing, then I got to take that as a win, because I think that's the one thing, dude, that is we're going to notice the most relief the fastest. It's not just
for sure. I'm not arguing with you about that. I just don't know how fast he can physically implement the next thing that's going to take that away.
Yeah. I know the Tax Federation came out and said it's effective immediately. So I don't know if does that mean gas is cheaper?
It's just so crazy how when they really want to do something, they can do it. Yeah. All this banter for 3 or 4 years and they can just do it like that. And
a stroke of 20 cents of gas, right? And then it's like my heating bill cuts in half. And then like everything that gets delivered starts to come down. Everything that gets delivered and stored starts to come down.
I guess it's just kind of infuriating too, because they've been pushing back on this for years and years and years. And this
dude great.
Just comes in unelected and just fucking signs his name and it's gone.
Yeah.
The climate change guy himself
comes and signs. And he's going to try and torch Alberta, probably.
Which is I don't know. Maybe better. Not. I mean, maybe he's going to gain. Maybe this is a move, dude. Maybe they see the writing on the wall, and he's going to come in and make some. Like, maybe he's going to go hard center without losing the left wing rhetoric, and maybe he's going to make enough changes to turn the country around. I mean, look, we really do. We are. Look, we've said we're broken beyond repair. I truly believe that when I say it. But if they change strategy, which they could fix it. If they just went back to like. The 1990s style stuff. I mean, get some prosperity back for us. Get our costs. And I don't mean that by getting involved. Get less involved and let shit work itself out.
I mean, maybe the king sent him over. That's why he looked at the camera. Because the king's like, dude, you gotta fix this. The USA is going to take it. It's my prize.
You're going to fix it and then hand it over to the States.
Did you see the map I put out today? That was like all of us join America except Ontario and Quebec.
I love that app. This is the way. Oh, and the Maritimes was in that still too.
So speaking of the way, I mean, it is getting kind of weird. Let's listen to you must have heard this clip already, but I want to play it here anyway for just because it should be on the show.
No, I'm not. Look, we've been ripped off for years and we're not going to be ripped off anymore. No, I'm not going to bend at all. Aluminum or steel. Or cars.
What is that bust in the background?
I don't know, but there's got to be some symbolism in there somewhere, right? I mean, I wonder who that has to be.
Gonna bend. We've been ripped off as a country for many, many years. We've been subjected to costs that we shouldn't be subjected to. In the case of Canada, we're spending $200 billion a year to subsidize Canada. I love Canada. I love the people of Canada. I have many friends in Canada. The great one, Wayne Gretzky, the great. How good is
Winston Churchill?
Wayne Gretzky. He's the great one. But we have, I know many people from Canada that are good friends of mine. But, you know, the United States can't subsidize a country for $200 billion a year. We don't need their cars. We don't need their energy. We don't need their lumber. We don't need anything that they give. We do it because we want to be helpful. But it comes a point when you just can't do that. You have to run your own country. And to be honest with you, Canada only works as a state. It doesn't. We don't need anything they have. As a state, it would be one of the great states anyway. This would be the most incredible country visually. The
greatest state.
The map. They drew an artificial line right
visually. I think he says greatest state.
Yeah, drew it between Canada and the U.S. Just a straight artificial line. Somebody did it a long time ago, many, many decades ago, and makes no sense. It's so perfect as a great and cherished state. Keeping O Canada, the national anthem. I love it. I think it's great. Keep it. But it'll be for the state, one of our greatest states. Maybe our greatest state. But why should we subsidize another country for $200 billion? It costs us $200 billion a year. And again, we don't need their lumber. We don't need their energy. We have more than they do. We don't need anything. We don't need their cars. I'd much rather make the cars here. And there's not a thing that we need. Now, there'll be a little disruption, but it won't be very long.
Just a little disruption.
Just a little disruption. But I mean, honestly, dude, why is he ramping up the rhetoric? Okay.
Never mind. Wait till the finish.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But they need us. We really don't need them. And we have to do this. I'm sorry. We have to do this. Yes.
I mean,
these people are losing their shit over it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And when everybody's like, because I'm seeing a lot of people on our side that are like, oh, he's just joking. He doesn't mean it. No, I think he means it. Like, I just don't think he can tell us why the real reason is. But that's me. You know, that's me thinking maybe there's a little faint hope that he's playing 5D chess, you know, because I'd rather be 51 right now than in a broken Canada. But
well, maybe it's got something to do with like this kind of stuff. No. Canadian governments fail to stop money laundering because they want the cash. Douglas Todd, once it's in the system, dirty money behaves just like clean money, says law professor Sana Ahmed. Governments quietly rely on it to prop up the domestic economy. Where have we heard that before? I mean, right? I mean, it's basically what the CIA and them have all been doing forever down in the States. Why wouldn't it be happening here? An estimated $45 to $113 billion is laundered in Canada each year, according to Criminal Intelligence Service Canada. Politicians in Canada are mostly pretending they're desperate to crack down on money laundering, according to the stark, well-constructed argument of a University of Calgary law professor. Ahmed says the real reason federal and provincial governments have not made a significant dent in the laundering of dirty money is basically because they like the cash in the economy. Why did the BC government of a decade ago tolerate what became to be known as the Vancouver model of money laundering? She asked. After all, many people knew drug cash stuffed in hockey bags was being laundered by being used to gamble at BC casinos, with much of it ending up in mostly luxury Canadian real estate, she said. And why did it take American law enforcement officials, not those in Canada, last year to punish the white-collar criminals inside U.S. branches of the Canada-based TD Bank? They hammered the giant bank, which had a permissive reputation, with a $3 billion fine for aiding in massive laundering of drug money and other ill-gotten gains. The answer is the same. Despite the posturing of politicians and the establishment of dozens of anti-money laundering agencies in Canada, Ahmed says politicians aren't keen to prosecute money laundering because they want the capital, which props up the economy. Once we put the moral outrage aside, this money is just money. The billions of illicit dollars that have poured into Canada help shore up the domestic economy, said Ahmed, who has trained as a lawyer and professor in both Pakistan and Canada. Dirty money, she says, buoys banks, the hospital sector, realtors, developers, art dealers, restaurants, and high-end retail outlets, and eventually makes its way into government tax coffers. The globe's massive laundering network can only be understood by asking the question, who stands to gain? Unfortunately, Ahmed argues it's not easy to differentiate the benefits of money laundering for private individuals and corporations from those that go to the state, where the revenue is used to pay for such things as healthcare and transit. Now let's jump off of that. Well,
Is that the only reason why there's still cash in the system? I mean, and we're not all digital. I mean, it's interesting that they might need, that might be why there hasn't been a CBD push, because they need that cash. They need the dark money in the system.
Yeah. So then we jump over to here. Trade-based money laundering is the fentanyl crisis. Sources expose Chinese-Mexican-Canadian crime convergence. The famous picture of Trudeau at a Vancouver diner with all those Chinese guys, they're all in there. So this is the Bureau, of course, is what's his name? Scooper Cooper.
Sam Cooper, yeah.
Sam Cooper. I subscribe to this. It's worth subscribing to. It's a little pricey, but there's a lot of, I mean, great content in that. As the debate rages over President Donald Trump's disruptive tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China, whether they represent a genuine war on fentanyl deaths tied to each nation's role in the deadly supply chain or merely a pretext for U.S. trade dominance, multiple Canadian and U.S. government sources have stepped forward to highlight a factor they believe North American citizens aren't grasping amid Trump's political record. Rhetoric. They point to the staggering scale and sophistication of trade-based money laundering orchestrated by Chinese triads in Canada and Mexican cartels. This is a predominant concern in Canada, alongside revelations of so-called fentanyl super labs hidden in rural areas, yet easily supplied by Canadian transportation hubs, shipping, rail, and trucking networks saturated with organized crime. These sources insist this little understood form of criminal money laundering not only fuels fentanyl trafficking, ultimately linked to a complicit Beijing, but directly finances drug shipments initiated by Chinese networks in Toronto and Vancouver, sending fentanyl, methamphetamine, and cocaine across the Mexican border into California, specifically to trucking hubs around Los Angeles. According to the primary source, a Canadian expert familiar with what they classify as an intricate trilateral partnership between Chinese triads, the Chinese Communist Party's United Front Foreign Influence Networks, and Latin American cartels. In 2023, Canada's financial watchdog FinTrack reported that Chinese networks had evolved beyond traditional casino-based laundering methods in Vancouver and Toronto, now mastering laundering through Canadian banks, law office, real estate, and a diaspora-based fraud network. Yet, according to the Bureau's criminal intelligence source, these same networks, operating alongside the Sinaloa cartel, also traffic in a range of commodities, from poached wildlife and agricultural staples like avocados and limes to rare Chinese delicacies such as geoduck, a phallic-shaped clam prized in hot pot and believed to have aphrodisiac properties. Let's go down a little bit. Same individuals notorious in elite Canadian enforcement circles appeared in suspicious transaction reports and were central to a sweeping intelligence investigation into vulnerabilities in Canada's banking system. This investigation, known as Project Athena, was a major anti-gang initiative examining reports from Canada's financial intelligence agency, FinTrack. Project Athena emerged after the collapse of its predecessor case, ePirate, reportedly Canada's largest ever drug money laundering probe, which targeted Chinese underground bankers in Vancouver and Toronto, linked to the Sam Gore Network, a Chinese syndicate dominated by the 14K Big Circle and Sun Yi on triads. The famous picture of Trudeau at the Vancouver diner with all those Chinese guys, the ones we all know from various media reports, They're all in there moving money around, the source said. And this was just one money service bureau, nearly a $1 billion in 3 years. So how many others are there? Let's go down to the bottom a little bit here. And so they start taking over industries. That's why your price of limes is what it is today, because the cartels have cornered the market, trying to put those drug proceeds somewhere. So let's start buying up commodities and controlling sectors. And that's what this case was. It confirmed everything we had received and heard from the FBI and DEA in bulletins for many years. The source added that while this particular cache of communications involved methamphetamine and cocaine, referred to as glass and girls, encoded narco communications, it did not directly pertain to fentanyl. However, the triad operator and the Mexican cartel associate appeared to broach the subject, at which point the cartel operative redirected the Canada-based triad to another handler in Mexico. The cartel guy he was speaking with on this particular phone was the one handling coke and meth, the source said. So it's like, hey, I'm interested in this and I don't deal with that. That's my associate. You'll have to go through someone else. They segment it. It's just such a tapestry. So there's that picture with Trudeau and all the drug dealers. Probably not drug dealers, but you know what I mean. Disclosing the stunning connection and scale of Triad influence on Canada's West Coast, the source said the underling, whose device was seized, revealing hundreds of money laundering and drug transaction deals between a Triad and a Mexican cartel, was working for one of the targets in the e-pirate investigation. So in this case, when Chinese pilots were released from jail, the individual who arrived to collect them was an underling of the e-pirate underground banking boss, a major figure in Chinese organized crime in North America. This individual
North America.
Is also said to be responsible for the large-scale export of luxury vehicles from Vancouver to China. We found out that a $100,000 Mercedes here in Vancouver is worth between 3 and 5 times that overseas. So there's your money laundering right there. Let's go down.
Cash in the system, man. Isn't that interesting?
It's crazy. This could explain why following is unexpected. So this is about Trump winning. So let's go up a bit. So this expert aligned with Canadian federal law enforcement officials who point to highly sophisticated trade-based money laundering schemes linking Mexican cartels and Chinese triad networks operating in Vancouver and Toronto. These networks, the U.S. expert explained, facilitate the cross-border flow of meth, cocaine, and fentanyl using multi-commodity trade-based money laundering transactions to disguise their profits. They suggested that Canada either lacks a full understanding of the issue or is failing to take U.S. concerns seriously by not adopting a more forthright stance, particularly in assessing the scale of money laundering linked to illicit drugs and organized crime. They believe Canada is ultimately undermining its own interests. Meanwhile, U.S. authorities, they asserted, have a clearer and more comprehensive picture of the problem. This could explain why, following his unexpected victory in the November 2024 election, President Donald Trump swiftly threatened tariffs on Canada and Mexico, a move that puzzled and stunned most observers. Two Canadian sources suggested the decision was influenced, at least in part, by a bipartisan congressional report on fentanyl released in December. The congressional working group behind the report spent months expanding on the Select Committee's bipartisan investigation, which for the first time documented how the Chinese Communist Party directly subsidizes the production of fentanyl precursors and analogs.
Let's go. We should go download that report and let's go over one. Because I lost Nia Fannerstill's report. She had an ex post. Now her account's gone, and she had a report from 2023 on this whole thing. It was some organization that did an analysis, and I'm trying to find it.
So let's finish this up here. President Trump's address this evening laid bare a cynical and profoundly dangerous approach to America's global leadership. Shaheen said his 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada, our closest trading partners, threaten to unravel decades of economic cooperation and will inevitably result in economic consequences for American workers and businesses. But a Canadian expert dismissed Canada's efforts as insufficient. If you really want to do something lasting here, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm pro-Trump in that sense, but you'd have to have a leader in this country willing to crack open the charter and the criminal code and make radical changes, the expert said. Oof. This is stuff Canada should have addressed 25 years ago. But through successive liberal governments, we've allowed it to continue, and now we're caught with our pants down. If we think we can just start throwing numbers at this and that'll fix it, that's a mistake, the expert continued. The problem is the framework in Canada has made this attractive. The police know what's going on, but they don't have the tools to prosecute and disincentivize this. Trump knows this. Imagine it from his perspective. He's surrounded by weaklings exploiting and killing Americans. He's not wrong. Underscoring the paralysis of Canada's federal police under the current legal framework, the source reiterated, that a broken prosecutorial system not only fails to secure charges against entrenched Chinese and Mexican criminal networks, but refuses to even consider cases. This is what happens when you've got such a decayed system, whether it's the Charter of Rights, the Criminal Code, the prosecution services, or just the broader demoralization of policing, which we played clips about on this show, compounded by chronic resourcing issues for years. The primary source for this story said, they just go for the easy stuff. Anything complex, they don't touch it. I don't think they've tackled a serious file since the e-pirate case collapsed. The prosecution service basically said, look, we're dealing with the same resourcing issues. Don't send us these complex files. We can't handle anything with more than three names listed in your report.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I want to show you what's happening to this. Can I just break in here and give you like
the results? Yeah, that was the end of that. I'll probably leave it at that.
For this. The results of all this, right? Get this. 67 overdoses in Saskatoon in 72 hours. Small town, rural Canada. Imagine the drain on an already overwhelmed healthcare system. But hey, Eastern liberals keep reassuring us that Canada isn't broken. Elbows up, everyone, and worry about Trump, because that's the real problem. That's how many overdoses are happening. 60-some overdoses in Saskatoon in the last week. You don't hear much of that in the national news. Nothing to see here. This is from March. Like, this is recently. That one was from March 13th, March 8th. Another one here. Liberals will tell you fentanyl isn't an issue in Canada. Overdoses are up how many percent, do you think?
1,200.
400% since 2024. And since 2024 in Saskatchewan's largest city. 400%. Saskatchewan has a population of, wow, that's more than I thought. What? 352,000? I thought it was like 200,000.
So who's Saskatoon?
Yeah.
How many?
352,000. That doesn't even seem right. I thought it was 200. Serious and urgent crisis after hundreds of overdoses in Saskatoon. Emergency center activated. So this is a massive problem here. Somebody said it was like, emergency type situation here. 271 overdoses in Saskatoon, you waste of skins. Anyways, yeah, that's, I'll just show you something else here quickly too. No, I think we've already gone over that stuff. I don't have to share any more of that. But yeah, it's a major problem right now. So I heard from a person, a friend, personally, who mentions that there was 250 overdoses in Saskatoon recently, and he thinks that it's a bad lot, and they're like actually killing people on purpose or something like that. Like, it's like, you know, that this is like, there's some conspiracy floating around among the normies that like, what's going on here? Why is there so many overdoses, and why are they letting these bad drugs in? And it's like, they're trying to kill people off. So,
well, yeah, cause it's not just about money. It's about destabilization probably. All right. I got one more to finish it up just on this sort of thing, on this vein. It's again, back to Sam Cooper and the Bureau. BC fentanyl ring negotiated with Sinaloa Chief El Mayo, court filings allege. A bust in Surrey included seizures of Mexican passports, fentanyl, arsenal of weapons, and fortified compound with Chinese hike vision security systems. So a new high-profile British Columbia money laundering case targets an alleged Sinaloa cartel-linked fentanyl and cocaine trafficking cell established in a mansion near the U.S. border. Court filings say the group was capable of negotiating significant cocaine importation deals with Ismael Garcia, known as El Mayo, the reputed Sinaloa cartel chief. So this is that same house that we were watching the other day that we had the thing from. According to the filings, the Canada-based syndicate compromised at least three men, including Hector Chavez Anchondo. The lawsuit filed yesterday by the Director of Civil Forfeiture contends that they belong to a violent drug trafficking organization that, quote, used and continues to use violence or threats of violence to achieve its aims. Investigators allege that the Sinaloa cartel-linked gang trafficked a range of controlled substances, including ketamine, methamphetamine, Xanax, oxycodone, MDMA, and fentanyl. As a part of these efforts, the drug trafficking organization has agreed to and made arrangements to purchase cocaine from the cartel de Sinaloa in Mexico, the filings say. They add that the Sinaloa cartel is a terrorist entity and that the government of Canada listed it as such on February 20th, 2025. Why? Just because Trump told him to, basically. Though no criminal convictions, I think this is almost at the bottom. Yeah, I'm almost at the bottom. Where'd it go? Ah, God damn it. Though no criminal convictions have been reported in connection with this lawsuit, first covered by the Vancouver Sun, Canada's connection of this investigation in the Sinaloa cartel, alongside with its designation of the cartel as a terrorist organization, could have significant implications for high-level discussions between the Trump administration and Ottawa. Washington has intensified pressure on Canada over alleged failures to curb fentanyl trafficking networks, with the dispute escalating into sweeping tariffs amid a mounting trade war.
Maybe this is what I was thinking Carney might throw him under the bus on, the drug problem. Like, that could be a pretty big win too, right? I mean, who doesn't want to clean up our streets with fentanyl, right? I mean, if I was Carney, man, that would be a huge, you know, clamp down on this organized crime and all the drugs.
The multi-million dollar mansion is located about 20 minutes from the Peace Arc border crossing in Washington State. I'm sure that's not a coincidence. North of Seattle, British Columbia's government is seeking forfeiture of the Surrey mansion along with its security apparatus, which includes two Hikvision digital video recording systems, as well as numerous cell phones and laptop computers. Court submissions detail seized weapons, drugs, and cash, including firearms, 23 weapons, including 10 handguns, 2 sawed-off shotguns, 2 hunting rifles, 7 assault rifles, 2 reportedly equipped with screw-on sound suppressors, and a spear gun. Drugs, approximately 3.5 kilos of ketamine and methamphetamine, concealed in a hidden compartment in one suspect's room, hundreds of counterfeit aprazolam pills, and a hidden stash of oxycodone pills, and nearly $15,000 in cash bundled, not consistent with standard banking practices. Authorities also confiscated numerous luxury assets, asserting these represented either instruments or proceeds of unlawful activity in a filing submitted today. So there is a tribal question as to whether the vehicles, the motorcycles, the Azure boat, the trailer, the money, the jewelry, and other valuables and electronic devices are either instruments or proceeds of unlawful activity. Drug trafficking is a cash business. Persons involved in illegal drug activity frequently carry large sums of cash either to purchase drugs or as proceeds from drug sales. Seized vehicles include a 2006 GMC Sierra, a 2002 Ford F-350, a 2006 Land Rover, a 2018 Dodge Ram 1500, and a 2006 Dodge Charger, and a restored 1950 vintage Ford. Investigators also confiscated upscale motorcycles, such as a 2012 Harley Davidson and custom bikes featuring elaborate flame motifs. Ooh. And a boat. So.
And a boat.
And a boat. Boats and hoes.
Wow, that was good, yeah.
So that's all I got for this week. We can get out of here.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, you know, you can support us. If you go to the alist.ca, that's eh-list.ca, there's a button right at the top to support independent media. So if you like our media and you want it to stay around, head over there, support us, and we would love you for it. Other than that, just tell your friends about the shows, share the show, spit it out, subscribe to us on YouTube if you're not, and tell your friends about the show. But yeah, we're just going to do it all for free. And if you get some value from it, you can send her some value back our way at the alist.ca. A-list. There's a dash in there. So other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Who's going to kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope?
sense. When do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun, is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill.